why are you arranging these bus tours? And he said, we are trying to create memories. And I thought that was a very good answer. It is our memories which are often coming to our aid when we are in the nitty-gritty of life. In fact, when old devotees come together, they often share memories. Memories which remind them of the possibilities and what they are capable of doing, of thinking, and of their states of consciousness. It can be good that we create memories of devotion in our life. I want to encourage you, create more memories of devotion, chanting with friends late into the night, going on Harinam in London City. Wow, that's a big one. And that is unforgettable, what happens there. Going on pilgrimage, spending time in the temple on the sabbatical. All these things are, and much more, are creating memories. So, thank you, Ruba.
You're bringing a... Wow, thank you so much. You are so beautiful. Thank you. I greatly appreciate it.
Alas. So, this question and answer session will be very concentrated. How should we go about it? Should we first go to the written questions, maybe, to get us all starting?
Mm-hmm. So the first one, Maharaj, is as follows. Maharaj, you were saying that we should make prayers to Krishna, asking him what we should do in our lives and what our next step should be. And Srila Prabhupada often says in his books that asking Krishna for anything except devotional service is like asking a rich father for something very little. Is Prabhupada only referring to material desires? Could you shed some more light on this, please?
Yes, wonderful question. Thank you very much for this question. When we come to a king, will we ask him for a handful of ashes? If the king is ready to give us, will you ask for something so insignificant as burnt wood? This has no use any longer. No, he is willing to give. You will ask for the most valuable, the thing which has the greatest art. And this really, the most valuable thing is bhakti. In terms of universal value, but very specifically when we go to Krishna, we ask him for bhakti. Bhakti refers to two things. Bhakti is a process, devotional service, chanting, reading of the scriptures, sadhu sangha, going to places of pilgrimage, etc. But bhakti is also a state, prema bhakti. That's both the way, that is what we do, as well as the goal, that is what we achieve. Love of Godhead. Prema bhakti, give me bhakti. So devotees always ask the Lord for that what they consider highest. Now, sometimes in our life, the way is more in our mind than the goal. For instance, I would like to go to London. I really don't want to go today because it's such a beautiful nature and I only had 20 minutes with Mother Nature here in Wales. It's a little bit too less. But, tomorrow I desperately want to go to London. Today I hesitatingly want to go to London. Then I need to see, how do I get there? What are the streets which bring me to London? What are the transportation? Will I have the excellent joy of being together with Sunil again, who drives so swiftly and so consciously? and so on. And then I will also think of London. But first let me get in the car, let me get on the right roads. That's a challenge here in Wales, where everything sounds so around the corner. Probably that's not yet. Maybe now the Wales terrorists are against me. I'm not aware of the political, maybe I should not say such things. I understand there is some tension, but what it is, understood. So, my point here is, yes, we want to get to pure devotional service. Yes, we want to have the love of Godhead. But we need now to see how we will get on the road. Therefore, sometimes devotees can ask Krishna for the immediate things, but they do so, it's now very important, in relationship to a devotional service. It's called Gona Bhakti. Gona Bhakti is indirect devotional service. It's not Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, which is direct. Gona Bhakti is, for instance, how to situate myself so that I'm in a position of strength to render, to engage my body, mind, and words. And for most of us, this is very important in the process of getting real. For most of us who are not yet on the level of deep, deep attachment to Krishna, Gona Bhakti is, or indirect, or let me say, accepting what is favorable for devotional service. I will put it in the terms which you are used to hear. Accepting what is favorable is a very important part. If you always want the highest and never start where you are, you will always get the lowest. You have to be real. And when so therefore the devotees will say, please accept me in your service, my dear Lord, and please show me the next steps so that I can move towards that service. It's not a contradiction, it's supplementary. Bhaktivinoda, this is a very important point for those who are premature transcendentalists amongst us. Do you know what is premature? It means you're not really there, but you think you are there. For those who think they are like, and our movement sometimes suffers from a lack of real assessment. Where you are. Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses this point. He says, how should we act while being in this world? What is the modus vivendi of a devotee in this world? He answers this question. He acts according to the principles of Yukta Vairagya. What's that? Yukta Vairagya means appropriate renunciation. What it means in positive terms is you accept the things which are favorable for reaching your goal. For instance, in terms of ashrams, not all of the Pandavasenas are encouraged to renounce Grihastha ashram, but most of you will prepare themselves for life in this world in the Grihastha ashram, where you need four things. I learned yesterday from Akan. Akandati. Sorry, sometimes that's what you happens when you become old, and an embarrassing memory failure. You know, happen. You sing Jayarada Madhava, and all of a sudden you forget what was the third line. You've learned this a billion times. It has nothing to do with the character, it has to do with getting old. Al-Kanati Prabhu yesterday made a nice point. For Grihastha Ashram, four things are required. Listen very carefully. A home, he said, where you reside. The means of income. No, he said, home, then he said, a place of worship. A means of income. Children. In school. School for the children. Sorry, I'm not so good in this department. You may forgive me. Yes, very important. School for the children. Home. A place of worship which is accessible to you. Maybe you have to do that in your home and invite other grihasthas. Very important. So this association, worship, and there will be children, you need a school for the children, and the very important means of income, that's the last thing we like to think about, but it is often very important. Very important. You have no money for a new pair of shoes for your children, your wife will give you an interesting conversation. I've heard some things. So. Good. So, but all these things in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya are engaged in Krishna's service. The home is a nice home where we can receive Vaishnavas. Very important. We should have a facility to be hospitable. If we are poor, no problem. We can move all out of one room for one night and give our guests the other room. Very important. Hospitality is a very important principle. Home, a place of worship, very important. Where will we be without Krishna in the center? We will be ordinary, desperate materialists who struggle with their mind all the time. Then, next thing, the children who come, it is our responsibility to give them what they require, and schooling, proper school is very important for them, very essential. And then, a means of income, how we can maintain this. If we renounce these four things, problem, big problem. If we do not keep these four things in Krishna's service, big problem. Materialistic life is there for us. Yukta Vairagya means very appropriate renunciation. The Lord, sometimes the Lord can be asked for this. Please engage me in your service. Means really, please also, you know, help me to see how I can serve you. You have to unpack all these things by bringing the whole philosophy to a point and then understanding it, the point from all points of vision. But, and let us never forget this part, otherwise we become just a spiritualist without juice. Without life, really. But, however, another important, maybe the most important consideration is keep Krishna sacred. Know that He is the Lord of Transcendence. Know that He can give you so many things. He can give you love in your heart. He can give you your original relationship with Him. And so on. And never... And see whatever you do here in relationship of His ultimate gifts. Hare Krishna. What I personally do with this point is very rarely I ask Krishna for practical things. Only when I need the practical things, the practical things or practical knowledge to get in something. It became for me very important to find out what is my contribution for Prabhupada's movement. What can I do with my little talents? They are not much, but little. How can I do
Krishna? The next question, thank you, is as follows. In a circumstance, someone requires an outward perspective on their respective natives.
Sorry, since I'm not a native English speaker, slowly. I have a rich vocabulary, but the pronunciation, especially the English one, is still American English. I know a little better than English, unfortunately.
Okay, I'll say it as follows. Sometimes we need another perspective. We need someone to look at us so we can understand our nature. But sometimes through our personal contact, through meeting another individual, we can gain a good understanding of another person. But we may not be able to approach them because our personality traits are so different from theirs that we're not relatable, or we find it difficult to relate. Is there a way of overcoming these conditions so that there can be mutual understanding between people of different natures?
The only way that there can be mutual understanding between people of entirely different natures if they put Krishna in the center. The only way. In the first canto, chapter 8, Srila Prabhupada says that without the sun, we cannot see each other. And then that's an example he gives for that in a similar way. Without Krishna in the center, we will never understand each other properly. We need him to relate to each other in the spiritual platform, where the differences are no longer in the way of our communication. I do not think I need to say more on this, is it? But it is really crystal clear. How will you know, when you walk with a friend and there is no light, you walk in the darkness, you bump into each other, and all the time you need some source of light. So in the same way, we are here in the material world, we need Krishna, so that we don't constantly bump into each other if we have different natures.
Another question from this analysis.
And one thing is, don't hope to have a good, the same type of relationship with everyone. That's very interesting. When Prabhupada gave Brahmananda Prabhu two very important instructions, he remembers. One instruction was, wherever you go, wherever you walk, wherever you stand, know Krishna is with you. Wonderful, isn't it? And then he said, very Prabhupada was often very practical. Never go where you're not wanted. So sometimes, you know, when we are with people, they just react to us and find faults in us, or find insurmountable bad characteristics in us, and then it will be difficult to strike our conversation. Like-minded, it sometimes helps. That is an important consideration in the mentorship program. Although we would like to be don't have this consideration, can I work with this mentor? And although as a mentor we would like to give our mercy equally, there are cases where it is better that our mentees go to like-minded mentors where they can accept more. We should not be attached that they must be with me. we should see in their interest. I don't know, maybe it's better if you are with a person who can, where your minds meet better. Sorry.
The last one says, Maharaj, can you elaborate on what Srila Prabhupada means by the quote, everything is available for the enthusiastic person?
Utsaha nishaya pariyat. And enthusiasm? Patience and determination. These are three principles which I have heard were even picked up by a management book which received a great reception in our contemporary society. That one, Peter, the next word, Drucker, yes, Peter Drucker, who has written these 3 points from Act of Instruction. he has plagiarized them, as far as we are concerned. I don't know, maybe he found them independently, but they appear there. Enthusiasm is just... In Prabhupada's quote, he says, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, good fortune, becomes impressed by an enthusiastic devotee and helps. This is the transcendental perspective. But just psychologically, dealing with this on a psychological level, if someone is enthusiastic, we think it must be good. It must be good, what he says. Makhandlal could get along away with a lot of things because he was so enthusiastic always. Remember now, you're more mature, but when I first met you, and oh, he seems to be right, he said. But somehow an enthusiastic person is just very convincing, because we feel he believes in what he says, otherwise he wouldn't be so forthcoming. And it must be good because he looks happy. Enthusiasm is a bliss, is a blessing. It is required for devotional service. Well, but the 15th chapter of the Gita, there is a description of the spiritual kingdom of God. It is not lit by the sun, nor by the moon, nor is fire required to light it. It means itself a fire. Then Prabhupada explains this verse, and then he says, has someone a Gita? I would really like to read it. One should be... the Gita is a way... One should be... Let us wait until the Gita comes. You will be amazed how Prabhupada says that. I'm not at this moment... I really want to quote him, Bhajan. I don't remember it. Do we have a pandit amongst you? 15th chapter. Nata Pasayate Suryo. It's well worth waiting. Yeah, 15th chapter, verse 6. Yes, here. Na tat basayate suryo na shashanko na bhavata. That supreme abode of mind is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. Prabhupada writes, one should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. It should be captivated. Captivated means wow. It means something like being enthusiastic for this. This should speak to me. I should be captivated by this. See, and there is something which we see very often in our society. Devotees of people are very enthusiastic when they join. Very enthusiastic. And they are inspired by a sweet hope that in this life I can reach the supreme abode. I can reach the lotus feet of Krishna. But after some time, what happens to them? They will say, despite my best endeavors, I am still where I am. There are still many things in my heart which shouldn't be there, which I don't want to be there, but which are there. I have not overcome all the obstacles. And at this time, a type of hopelessness settles into their mind and intelligence, which stifles their spiritual growth. Do you know that so many in the spiritual path, they felt a calling to go, leave everything behind and go to Vrindavan to live a life totally surrendered. So many have joined our movement with a great hope and enthusiasm. The hope was there, and then it lit the fire of enthusiasm. I will do it. It is possible. And so many have become hopeless, and as a result, become lax in their spiritual practices. Many of you are university students, no? Or are connected. See, when you know an examination comes up and there is no hope in you passing it, what will you do? You will say, let's go home, let's hear some music and drink a little fruit juice and relax. You will not study any longer. You will not give your best any longer, right? You know you will fail. What is the point? So many feel like this in relationship to Krishna consciousness. They feel, I gave my best interest and it did not work for me as of yet. Let me become relaxed. Let me become normal. Let me live a life more ordinary. I was doing this for a life less ordinary, but many say, let me live a life more ordinary. There is another result of this hopelessness which kills our enthusiasm for the effort. What is the way out? The Bhagavatam gives a beautiful way out, and I believe when you hear it, you will finally have a means how to overcome this type of psychological reaction to your weaknesses which you have to confront in the path. The Bhagavatam says, taste. Yes. Taste comes when we serve the great devotees of the Lord. Serve can mean many things. Can mean manual services like washing the room, cleaning rooms, doing manual services. Serve can also mean to to hear. That is a very important service, Shravanam. We hear in a receptive mode. Serve can mean anything which is making a close contact. Close contact. Then the taste comes. Have you noted our young people who were born in the society? They had association with Aindra Prabhu, either directly or through his recordings, we say, recordings. And it gave them taste in the holy name. I'm thinking of Nimai. Nimai is going through puberty, you can see. And the sea is storming, the hormone sea is storming in his body. Don't tell him this. You can see growth comes here, growth comes there. The ear is growing out of proportion, and the other ear follows. And it's a difficult time for a young man. But then he hears an Aindra Kirtan, boom, he gets taste, then he will also do it. Although he has no voice, sometimes voice is crackling, and puberty, that is to be expected. No problem, let's see. This association with devotees in any way, Vani, Vapu, but it must be done in a service mode, not in a challenging mode, in a humble way. Then we get ruchi or taste. We get it back. And when we have taste in something, we are automatically enthusiastic. No? When something is good, we like it. We go for it. Very good question. This is one of, you know, Purinam Prabhu and myself, we have this retreat center and we give regularly retreats. And our whole idea is just, let us help the devotees to get hope, hope back, so that they march forward with inner strength in their spiritual life. So let me, oh my God, let us see, where are we? How long? 7:30 to 8 o'clock. We are 10 minutes over time. No problem. We want to read this very nice thing. It's in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 7. I always read it, but I like how Prabhupada said, one should be captivated by this information. If one can go to Krishna and never return, it should be captivating for one. One should not... Better be different and be captivated than indifferent to this. So we will end here. You will have your pause now. Should we do 5 minute pause?